Let's go into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
All right, another week. Must be draft week in Jacksonville. Are you kidding me? The anticipation grows, at least in my mind, hour to hour, minute to minute, as we get a little bit closer to Thursday night, an opportunity today to literally break some bread with the threesome of Caldwell, Marrone, and yes, the Czar, Coughlin today. The media luncheon 2019. Every time I give out threesomes or foursomes, my train brain will go to Caddyshack when it's Smales the third, Dr. Bieberman, and Bishop Pickering to the first tee. But today they were buttoned up. They were fairly tight-lipped. They were all business. They do it because I believe every team in the NFL does it. I don't think it's a rule. I just believe what they want to do is bring in the local media, give them some nuts and bolts, feed them, and then get them out of there and act like, all right, we did our part, and that's the way that that teams do it. They're not going to give you anything, but I have felt that, you know, this organization and those three at the top are perhaps more honest than I want to give them credit for. I'll still go back to the combine and Doug Marrone oozing about how he wanted a veteran quarterback. And, you know, I wondered at that point if it was some sort of a smokescreen. It was not. It was anything but. It was the honest truth. I just talked with the three who got off the air about a conversation I had with Dave Caldwell going back to the Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack draft, where it wasn't tomfoolery. He, in this case, Dave Caldwell, I asked questions. I was alongside Dan Hicken. The three of us were having a conversation. Post Jalen, who was being introduced that day in the Jaguars locker room as the top pick, and the whole medical doctors had come forward, where really Miles Jack had admitted to having some work done, and, you know, a lot of teams red flagged him. And I remember on that particular day asking Dave Caldwell, going back and forth with him, leaving that conversation, coming back over here to 1010XL and 92.5 FM and saying there's no way they're drafting Miles Jack with the second pick, and they did it. So smoke screens, tomfoolery, gamemanship, or just honesty. It's hard to figure out. I mean, you could poll, what was there, maybe 30 members of the media at this gathering today, and I'd get, you'd have a lot of different answers as to who they think they are going to end up selecting when it's all said and done on Thursday night. TJ Hawkinson's a guy that I've been pounding the table about now for a couple of months. I don't think they're going to draft a tight end at number seven. Now, Coughlin was asked about this today. I asked Caldwell and Coughlin about it in the group setting, and they gave us back very little. It was the classic Dave Caldwell, we're going to take the best player on the board answer. That was in the group setting. Later, when they met individually with radio, the writers, and with TV, actually, I guess TV and radio was together, Coughlin was asked about the numbers. And I want to say, what, four first-round tight ends in the upper half of the draft over the last 30 years or something crazy like that? And Coughlin's answer instead was, yeah, but if you went back and did it over again, I bet a lot of teams felt as though they made a mistake there. And I'm paraphrasing. But again, he's being honest. And does that tip it a little bit towards the tight end out of Iowa? Or again, could it be just brutal honesty by Tom Coughlin? It has absolutely no bearing at all on what the Jaguars are going to do on Thursday night. Anyway, becomes really a sensational week around these parts. I mean, this is almost like winning a Super Bowl. It's almost like Christmas morning. Okay, you should feel real good about the player that your team gets with the seventh overall selection coming up on Thursday night. And where are they going to go? Tell you what, I feel more and more confident that they're not drafting a right tackle on Thursday night. I have felt that as of late anyway, and I doubled down on that opinion after listening to the three today. I do not believe a right tackle is going at number seven. and I've said this again forever, TJ Hockenson as a tight end is a much better player, in my opinion, and to the scouts that I have talked with, the NFL draft analysts that I've had on the show, than any right tackle who's available in this year's draft class. I think the major competition for that seventh overall pick comes on the defensive line, where we know it's a very strong defensive draft and really front-loaded on that defensive line. You may not have a cornerback go until number 20 in this year's draft class. And if you look at the situation right now overall at linebacker, where I would be absolutely beyond shocked if the Jaguars went there, when you get away from Devin Bush at Michigan and Devin White at LSU, there's really not a stand-up linebacker who is perceived to go high in the first round. So they couldn't possibly go there. It's got to be the defensive line. If they go to that side of the football field, it absolutely has to be. So, you know, these are things that we have talked about for quite some time. We'll continue to talk about as we push forward tonight and throughout the course of this week. All right, glad you're with us. My name is Rick Ballew. This is called Into the Night. We do it from 7 to 9 each and every night right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. The schedule has changed a little bit this week, including on draft night, where I'll do late night with you, 10 to midnight, because we'll have a special draft show for you, and it's going to change the schedules around a little bit. But I'm looking forward to it on Thursday night, because it's going to give me an opportunity to voice my opinion on the draft pick, get some expert analysis on as far as the draft pick, and also follow the second half live during the first round on Thursday night, plus a preview of what to expect coming up on Friday. So a little bit of a change schedule-wise. That'll be Thursday night, and I am definitely excited about that. All right, the main thought I got today from listening to Coughlin, Marone, and Caldwell is I do believe that they think they're a better football team than perhaps some people are believing that they are. And I talked about it again with the guys just a moment ago during crosstalk. That became kind of a convenient excuse as far as injuries a year ago. And it seemed like so much was put on the quarterback and how that did not produce. Well, they've got that quarterback in Nick Foles. How much better does it make them as a football team? I did the schedule. I had him at 7-9. Okay. Well, they did the schedule. He had him at 7-9. We'll do it again after mandatory minicamp. And then we'll do it again right at the end of training camp after the four preseason games. We'll see if the record does change. A lot of things can happen throughout the course of the NFL until then. Obviously, the NFL draft and injuries are always a huge concern. There's going to be teams across the NFL that will lose key players in the month of August. It happens each and every season. Could have a player or two suspended as well. That typically does roll in. So, you know, and I think it's a comforting fact if you are a Jaguars fan, and most of the audience right now listening is in fact a Jaguars fan. And frankly, that's the way I want my leadership to be. I mean, if they were going to come in here and Butch Jones, and I'll never forget Butch Jones, and that's why he was a massive failure at Tennessee. I mean, for crying out loud, you had Dan Mullen bragging about Mississippi State. I almost fell asleep. Dan suddenly has picked up some sort of a personality now that he's been at the University of Florida, because, boy, I almost fell asleep during the years that I heard him spoke when I was in Birmingham when he was at Mississippi State. I mean, it was unbelievable. But his whole attitude was, why not now and why not us? And I remember what was going on with James Franklin. And I'm thinking, this is Vanderbilt. And he's bragging about, why not us? And then again, here comes Gary Pinkel into the SEC. And he's like, why not us? And all of a sudden, you get to Butch Jones, who put down the coffee and the donut. And it's like, oh, the cupboard's bare. Oh, it's going to take us 3, 4, 5. I mean, you had loser written all over you. From day one, your approach sucked. okay? I mean, you're a head coach. You're supposed to be infectious to your entire fan base and certainly your assistant coaches and your players. When you admit that you are already part of an underachieving situation, you're doomed. See Butch Jones back in Knoxville. You didn't see that today with Marrone, Caldwell, or Coughlin. Regardless of the fact that they won 5 ball games again last year, I didn't feel panic. I didn't feel desperation. I didn't feel we better get the best player available at number 7 because the collar is tightening right now around the neck. I didn't feel that at all. Now, again, that's just my opinion. Maybe others saw it differently, and they're entitled to their opinion as well. And Jag fans, you should take this, I think, for what it's worth. We have seen guys in those type of positions before fold weeks, and in this case, months before they even step on the football field. And if there was one organization where you can really make a case that there would be concern, or at least trepidation, it would be right now with this organization. And that's not the case. At least that was my read today. So I'm taking it as a positive. Maybe they believe they have a good football player put away who's going to get ready for this year's draft class. Remember last year's draft class? Coming off an AFC Championship game, I didn't have them taking Taven Bryan. They went out and made all these picks. You know who the starter was and the early contributor was? Leon Jacobs, a 7th-round pick. I'm telling you right now, listening to what I saw today, I think they feel they have 22 guys they can go out and play with right now. Maybe a starter comes later in the draft, not necessarily your 7th pick. Now, if they draft TJ Hockenson, then yeah, okay, he's your guy. But if they go out and get a defensive lineman, where's he going to be a starter there? They're happy with the 4 that they have right now, who are returning, including Taven Bryan, who we know moves inside, now is a 3 technique. It's just something to consider as we get a little bit closer to draft night. All right, we got a ton to do. I'm going to get you involved in the program because it's going to be a very, very unusual week. A lot of guests scheduled beginning tomorrow night to get us closer to the NFL draft. Want to grab some of your thoughts, though, on the program this evening. So a couple of ways you can get in. Twitter's your best bet. Baloo1010XL. The Twitter feed is, it's up and running, and that's always available for you, 24 hours a day. Text line, 641-1010. Certainly get there, and I'm going to grab some calls tonight as well. Same number, 641-1010. All right, when I come back, much more on the draft luncheon today, and also let's get inside a little bit, kind of the tone of some major issues that are happening within this football club, not only with the draft, but Leonard Fournette, Nick Foles, Jalen Ramsey, the absent Telvin Smith, all major points of conversation today. Even though it was supposed to be draft only, these questions kind of slipped through the cracks and have made for some interesting, made for an interesting conversation, at least in my particular opinion. And that's kind of what counts here on Into the Night with Baloo. Actually, that's not true. I just said I'm opening up these phone lines. If I didn't take any calls, didn't want you to be involved, I'd just say, hey, listen to me, you don't matter. That's not the case tonight. 641-1010, you do matter. Baloo1010XL on Twitter. Your thoughts are coming up. Glad you're with us. What a week in Jacksonville. Draft week 2019, your stop, the flagship of the Jags. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's good to have you with us. My name is Rick Ballew. We go to 9 tonight. Busy, busy week right here in Jacksonville. I'm going to grab some of your phone calls, some of your input here in about 30 seconds, perhaps a little bit longer, at 641-1010. I have a quick update for you. I haven't received any of my mail. Of course, I made the huge pilgrimage about 3/4 of a mile away from one point in Bartram Springs to the other. Well, now I'm starting to get this forwarded mail. going back to early March. And, you know, they had to go through Tampa. That's the process. So the first bit of forwarded mail I get is that I have jury duty. Jury duty coming up this Monday. Okay? It was dated like March 2nd. But that's the first thing I get. So I got to get on the computer and I got to get on here and do all this. Actually, I didn't get on the computer. I made the GF got on the computer and change all this stuff. So I'll do it again at a later date. But, you know, that's important stuff. What if I miss that? You know, it's like I'm dodging the law, and it's not my fault. It's the mail's fault. But anyway, you know, I got that whole criminology background. You think I'd be very interested in that? I'm not. I don't want to be a part of it whatsoever. But it got me thinking. I remember a few years ago, I was working with Hacker, and Hacker was like every day, like, dude, I don't want to be on jury duty. I don't want to be on jury duty. Of course, he got picked. It's like they want me. I don't want to be on it. Like, bro, if you don't want to be on it, just do something so you don't have to worry about getting it. I've been on it twice. I've been called in twice, and both times I wasn't chosen because I made such a statement. Such as, well, I don't know, perhaps when I fire up a joint in the middle of the proceedings, they'll throw me out. No, I mean, you can just make it very obvious. If you don't want to be a part of jury duty, do something where you get noticed and you get scratched. It's real simple. Now, on the flip side, and this is the case of Hacker, if you want to be on it, just say that you want to be on it. No one's going to think any less of you. But I always kind of marveled about that. Trust me, when I get called in for jury duty, there is no chance, zero chance, that I get chosen. I will force my way out of it. It's very, 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 very simple. So I know it'll, you know, it messes you up and does things along those lines as far as your job and things like that. I just don't have any interest in it. I really don't. So I will do that. One other note, got my JEA built today since I made the move from one side. Now, I never look at bills. I just don't. But the GF tells me that my water bill is $500, okay?
That's got to be like a leak or something.
$500. Not only that, but they told me that at my brand new place, we used more than 40,000 gallons of water for five bills. And I'm like, well, can you do something about it? I got to go to this draft meeting. I'm going to be tied up all day, even though the meeting only lasts like a half hour. You got to turn that half hour meeting into like an 8-hour day. So, yeah, she gets on it, does all this, all that. Yeah, it must be a leak. Go check the toilets, whatever. Maybe it's a sprinkler, so they're going to come by. So I'm already now realizing how difficult it is being a renter compared to being a homeowner. As I've been a homeowner for the past 20-some-odd years, now all of a sudden I'm renting, and whether it's the U.S. Mail or JEA, really screwing me from both ends. So that was my Monday. How was yours? All right, let's get to some of these calls. 641-1010, that is the number. The Jaguars at number 7. Montez Sweat's a guy that I really like. I know they loved him at the Senior Bowl. He was far and away the best player there. But you got to wonder now, with those heart issues in that particular condition, has he been taken off the team board? We'll get to Dave Caldwell on that coming up here momentarily. I had a chance to talk with him on that particular issue. But now all of a sudden that becomes alarming for me, and it should for you if he's the guy you have earmarked as a Jags fan. I'm sure you heard a lot of reaction today from Coughlin and Caldwell and Marone. Right now is a great opportunity for you to be heard. We're going to grab some calls this hour. So the number 641-1010. Let's kick it off by going to Ronnie. He is into the night with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Ronnie?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Ronnie.
Hey, listen, I have a comment and a question.
Yep.
Number one, my comment, you made a comment about Fournette not being the top 15, which I totally disagree with you. Jaguars' passing game was a freaking joke. And if you know anything about football, you know that when you're run heavy, you bring the safeties up. So he's going against the 8-man box.
Well, when did I say that? When did I say that? When did I say that, Ronnie? Did we lose him? don't know. He's gone. I think he must have me confused with another outstanding host here on the program. I don't know what you're talking about. I've been on the air for 27 minutes, and I have not made a comment along those lines tonight. Unless you're dating back to a show earlier this month where perhaps something like that came out. I just don't know, and I just don't understand. But anyway, thank you for getting in. As far as I'm concerned, you know, Leonard Fournette today was, you know, he was asked about twice today. Tom Coughlin raved about Leonard Fournette today. In shape, here, his workability. Dave Caldwell got in today and gave us his opinion on what is going on with Leonard Fournette. And, you know, it's only because he had a bad season and he was injured and he missed six games. That's the only reason why the situation here had the legs and had, you know, was part of the story that it really was, in my opinion, when it came to Leonard Fournette. If he didn't have that type of baggage and that type of negativity, I almost felt that would have been a non-story when it was all said and done. But nonetheless, now that it is out there, you know, I thought it was pretty interesting to hear what Doug Marrone said about it last week, when Doug Marrone went on to bring up his own previous experience where he was put in handcuffs in Daytona Beach. I thought it would have been a much bigger story with Leonard Fournette if he didn't show up this week for OTAs. Or I guess it should be last week now, since it was the 15th. This is a Monday. So, yeah, it was last week when that actually did happen. To me, that would have been a much larger story. And, you know, we'll get to the Jalen situation because Coughlin did speak on that today. And, you know, I'm really not surprised by his reaction. Again, we'll get to that momentarily. But I do want to mention this because the one issue that continues to really stick out, in my opinion, much more than either Leonard Fournette or Jalen Ramsey, is Telvin Smith. This is what is really a mystery to me. And since we don't have an answer at this point and we really don't know what is going on, I think it's really easy to come out and say that Telvin Smith is pouting, that Telvin Smith had his feelings hurt, because Telvin Smith did not have a great season a year ago. Sure, he led the team in tackles, but he was also among league leaders in the National Football League when it came to missed tackles. And when Doug Marrone says that he doesn't have an answer for why Telvin Smith is not here, when Tom Coughlin makes the comments that he did on Thursday at the Jaguars team address, it really makes you wonder. Telvin Smith is a very good football player whose skills eroded a season ago. And he's looking at mammoth money down the road to a point where I think you can say, if he is back and playing for this football team, this will be his last year in Jacksonville. So it really begs the question, are you better off moving Telvin Smith? The price that you get for him is going to be minuscule. I don't think you can get a fifth rounder for Telvin Smith. I don't. Now, again, I may be wrong. My guess is the best thing the Jaguars could get for him would be a six-round pick. So I want to throw that out tonight as well to you and give you an opportunity as we get closer now to the draft. This wouldn't happen until obviously on Saturday. But if you had your say right now, would you peddle Telvin Smith for a sixth-round pick? And it's really a situation that needs to be looked upon in a couple of ways. It's not just Telvin the football player for a sixth-round pick in return. It's Telvin Smith and the future money that you're going to have to pay this football player. It's getting rid of that contract for a sixth-round draft pick. So I think there's more ways that you should actually look at it when evaluating whether or not you would hold on to Telvin. There is negativity about him as a leader on this football team. Some of it is warranted. The other, I do wonder, does it come from people that are not huge Telvin Smith fans? And I'm not really going to divulge any more into that, but I think that in the building, the feeling around Telvin Smith really changed in the last year. And I think some will say it changed after he got the enormous pay raise, which he earned. I mean, Telvin was explosive. Telvin was all over the football. Telvin always had Telvin moments where, you know, you kind of look at him and it was like, was he on our planet during that call? Because there have been times where Telvin Smith has been nowhere near the football or just totally missed an assignment, whether it was in coverage or he was going to the wrong gap or just things like that where, you know, you would consider what he was trying to do and he didn't live up to it, and it was a little bit disappointing. But fifth-round pick, great effort player, tremendous leader. To the point, though, that when you're losing football games and you're trying to change the culture of the team, are you better off now without Telvin Smith? There's not a lot of guys right now in that locker room that you can look to and point to, and there are issues about them as far as leaders and their character. Now, Leonard Fournette is obviously one. Calais Campbell told us something last week that we have all known who cover Leonard Fournette. He is perhaps one of, if not the, certainly one of the funniest guys on the football team. Tremendous sense of humor. There's not a lot of guys who can go after Jalen Ramsey, publicly speaking, social media-like. Fournette does. Fournette has that clout. He has that respectability within the locker room as a team leader, voted a captain. Now, he was awful this past year, and I'd be shocked if he was voted back as the captain of the club in 2019 or one of the captains. But still, that's the way he is perceived. When you get away from the media, when you get away from everything else, Leonard's looked at that way. Telvin Smith is a guy who has a lot of players, some of them no longer here, but some current players as well, who really follow his lead. All right, I'm trying to break down the difference when it comes to leaders defensively. Jalen is their best player. He leads by example. Calais Campbell is maybe their second best player, who had an unbelievable season. And is a team leader who is not necessarily outspoken, but there's kind of the papa or even grandfatherly respect with Calais Campbell because he's in his, what? He's in his younger 30s now. He's 32, I believe. So there's a little bit, he's not a dog like some of the other dogs are. That's a term that players use today. And that's better suited for a young 20-something-year-old type of player. That they do and they say things that only they are a part of. And that they look at Calais Campbell, and again, it's not a bad thing. It's certainly a respectful thing, but there's a little bit of the grandfatherly respect to it, if you understand what I'm trying to say. Telvin Smith is completely different. Okay? His leadership, the way that he acts, the way that he talks, the way that he does things is very infectious to this football team. And he has guys that he can ground, and he has guys that are around him in every sense of the word. Okay? Yeah, I mean, if you want to take one guy from that defense that could maybe turn, I don't want to use the word mutiny or chaos. I don't want to get that deep because it's not like that. Even in a 5-11 season, it wasn't like that. But if you were to pick the ringleader to be in something like that, it's Telvin Smith. So it makes me wonder, is this a little bit deeper than we know? And I don't have the answer to that question because I'm not there during practice. I'm not in the locker room before the game. I'm not in the locker room at halftime. I'm not at team meetings. I don't know. But to me, it's a concern. And I hate it for Telvin because I love him. And I've loved him since he was an 18-year-old at Florida State. And he's one of my all-time favorite Seminoles. He didn't get the recognition that he deserved on that national championship defense, but he was their best leader. Okay, he still didn't go in the fifth until the fifth round. There were some red flags on him. We don't need to bring them up again. And he's the same type of football player right now with these same situations. But it does make you wonder, did they miss here on Telvin Smith? Did they pay him too much money? And would they move him this Saturday for a sixth-round pick simply just to get him out of here and to get rid of that contract? So I'd like to get some of your input on that tonight. 641-1010. The Jalen Ramsey situation is what it is. He's spoken to Marone. He's going to be here when he's going to be here. He's an unbelievable football player. Has the best ball in Telvin Smith's career. Is that now behind him? And is he worth moving, even if you get that type of pick in return? A sixth rounder. Let's come back. Let's grab some of your thoughts on it. I do have some open lines. 641-1010. That is the number if you'd like to join us. 641-1010. Glad you're with us. We go into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Telvin Smith signed a four-year, $45 million deal. I included a signing bonus of just over $4 million. $20 million is guaranteed. Actually, $20,051,000 is guaranteed. Average annual salary is $11,262,000. This year, Smith will earn a base salary of $9,750,000, carrying a cap hit of $12,560,000. Wow. 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 I mean, that is massive money. And he's got 3 years left. He's got this year, he's got 2020, and he's got 2021. Just to kind of put things in perspective for you, because I do want to grab these calls, and I appreciate you being patient. His cap hit over the next 3 years, 12.56 this year, 12.81 next year, 13,060 in the year 2021. That is massive money. Massive. I think if they are in a situation where they move them, or if anything is dangled to them, you have to trade him because of that, because of the future money. I mean, can you be paying $13 million a year for a weak side linebacker who missed tons and tons of tackles? Yeah, let's get to you on it. You know my opinion on him. I love the young man. I'd like to say he just had a bad year and he's going to get better. And he'll come back next season and he'll lead the team in tackles again. He'll have a productive year. But boy, at that rate, that is enormous money. I mean, you look at the money, $2 million in 2017. 2018, $5,810,000. Again, it's skirting up to $13 million a year for the next 3 years. That's why I think this team wants to trade him, if they can get anything for him. Let's go to Jack. He's first up with us into the night with Rick Ballew. Hi, Jack.
Hey, Rick. It's actually Jeff, but thanks for having me on the show.
Hey. Hi, Jeff.
Hey, yeah, man, just wanted to touch on the topic. I agree with you. It's a bit bizarre, and it's a little disappointing to see Telvin not with the team. This is a guy that the first 4 years of his deal, me personally, me and my guys were asking ourselves, what do we do to deserve a fifth-round pick that's playing like this, that has so much heart?
Yeah.
And now here we are talking about a possible trade, but, I wanted to reel back those trade conversations because, as far as the cap saving, you'd save a little bit of cap this year, but you're still going to eat $8 million in dead cap. So strategically, I don't know how, what the trade-off is as far as trading him versus keeping him on the roster. I still think he's very talented, and we're so thin at the LB core. So I'd probably reel back those thoughts a little bit, but I really hope that this is just a you know, him needing some extra time and not some kind of, you know, demonstration towards his attitude with the team. And I'll take the rest of my comments off the air. Thanks, Rick.
All right, Jeff. You know, in the court of law, we're innocent until proven guilty. In the court of public opinion, when it comes to something like missing voluntary workouts, you're not. And until we hear differently, the perception that I have is that Telvin Smith's pouting. Telvin Smith doesn't like the fact that he has been subjected to trade rumors. And I don't know why he would be upset with the organization about that. They didn't create these trade rumors. Maybe he feels as though someone there should step forward and squash trade rumors the way that they have with Jalen Ramsey. Did you notice that today, I got up today, went to the luncheon, came back, had it on the NFL Network. NFL Live had a large segment today on the rift between Coughlin and Ramsey. And there you go. The national media members are again talking about how they think Jalen Ramsey could be traded in 3 nights. Now, you know around here that that's not going to happen. Maybe Telvin wishes that someone in the organization would stand up and say, we're not trading him the way that they have for Jalen Ramsey. I don't know why he would miss these workouts. I know he's taken to social media. He's taken on some Jag fans about missed tackles. It's disappointing because I'm a huge fan of this guy. But you've gone from being a darling and a surprise where you were a fifth-round pick to all of a sudden a $13 million weak side linebacker. Your play has to go up, and it didn't. It went down. Now, I'd like to sign it off as just a bad year. But at the price that I just gave you over these next 3 seasons, his play has got to get better. Will is next with Rick Ballew. How you doing, Will?
I'm doing good. About yourself?
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to say, in terms of production versus price, I think you have to move on from Telvin. But I will say this, something that's kind of disturbing to me as a fan is how we never really seem to have these guys make it through the second contract, you know, and we almost have a kind of like a lost identity, like a group of people made up of free agents. You know, most teams like the New England Patriots, when you think of them, you think Tom Brady, you think Gronkowski, you think Edelman. But when you say Jaguars, I mean, the only one that we can really hang our hats on is Jalen, and he's on his rookie contract right now, so... I mean, I would almost want to try to make a case for Telvin in that aspect, is that he's kind of one of those guys that's like our guy. But it would have to come at restructuring his contract because that's just too much money.
It's a very solid point. I mean, outside of Brandon Linder and Jalen Ramsey, Telvin Smith, who else on this football team is been around for a second contract? I can't think of one. There's not one that comes to mind. I mean, Avery Jones has got, you know, Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that that's the way it has been. Now, that one draft class is coming up, and we know that it doesn't consist of Jalen, and it consists of Yannick Ngakoue, and it consists of Miles Jack and things along those lines. But that was a good call. But I don't think you keep him around for that point, because even though that was a solid point by our last caller, Will, I think others would turn around and say they overpaid him. They gave him too much money. Marquise Lee's another guy that comes to mind who's been here for a second contract, and we forget about him because of the injury. Saqib is next up. Welcome to the program, Saqib.
What's up, bud?
Hey.
How you doing, man?
Good. Doing great.
And also, I just read a few minutes ago when I was on hold, they also guaranteed him another $5 million on March 17 of this year. So my thing is, we shouldn't trade him because of one of those reasons. And also, we also got rid of Daryl Smith early, and he went to Baltimore and had great couple of years there. And he was a great linebacker that we had, you know, from second round from Georgia Tech, if you know.
Remember. Oh, yeah.
That.
Oh, yeah. He had some good years left, right.
Yeah, so I think we should keep him for one more year and see what happens. I think he just needs to come back. I'm a Florida State fan. I love the guy, and I hope we get him one more year at least. Just give him one more year and see what happens.
Well, I'd like to see it happen as well. Again, I would. I'm just speculating here why He's not around, and what could happen. It did happen last month on the 17th on St. Patrick's Day. What happened is $5 million of the 2019 salary was fully guaranteed. Again, his salary was scheduled to be $2,810,000 this year. Now that you've passed the January 17th date, it's up to $5 million, but the cap hit, again, is what is really damaging. That's $12,560,000. And again, that goes up to 12.8 next year, and then 13 and 60. You know, 13,060,000 in the year 2021. And you know, I'm looking. I use a couple of different sources for these salary cap and salary breakdowns, and unfortunately, they're not always connected accurately. You may have seen something that was Saqib. You may have seen something that I haven't. I just read to you what I got off here off of SpotTrack, which I think does a real good job with contracts. I know there are others out there that you can use, but they are a little bit complex, particularly when you have incentives that are put into a contract. And, you know, just about all of these stars have incentives into their deals. All right, we got much more to get into as we continue to roll right here on this Monday night. Tonight's show and Monday night show is brought to you by Advanced Disposal. Right now they are hiring in Clay County, and it's good for a $1,500 signing bonus. What you need is a CDL, a commercial driver's license, and it's good for Clay County. Apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. Again, a $1,500 bonus for a driver out in Clay County. All right, commercial driver's license is needed. $1,500. Apply online. Just go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. More on today's meetings, plus a couple of other interesting draft nuggets, which we'll get into. That'll be a part of News and Notes, which is brought to you by our good friends at truckcrashlaw.com each and every night. That's coming up in about 25 minutes. So that'll be part of hour number two with Rick Ballew.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, how beautiful was today? For those who had a chance to play some golf, I am a jealous man. You can imagine how great that must have been. Took my kids to Universal over the weekend. Man, it was windy. It was stormy out there on Saturday. Actually had to put a sweatshirt on out by the pool. You can tell the tourists, they didn't have no sweatshirt on. lots going on. Is there anything better than a Game 7? I mean, in sports in general, I know that we spent our entire first hour on football, and I'm going to get back to football here in just a couple of seconds. I think there really is like a stopwatch for any host in Jacksonville that you're only allowed to spend like 60 to 90 seconds on something that is not football related, and then you have to go back to it. So I will. I'm one of those guys that, you know, totes the company line, and I'm going to get back to football here immediately. But a Game 7, I mean, that's what it's all about, whether it's the World Series, whether it's the NBA playoffs, whether it's the National Hockey League playoffs. I think it's the greatest event in sports. And all the overtime confusion that we have in the NFL, World Series, it's been the same forever. You play until a run is plated. The NBA playoffs, same deal. Throw that all out the window. Nothing is better than playoff hockey, sudden death overtime. There's nothing better in sports in general. And right now, the Lord Stanley Cup champion Washington Capitals are up 2-1 over the Carolina Hurricanes. Ovechkin with a goal, his fourth. Connolly added his second. Fogle lit the lamp for Carolina. So if Washington wins that, we will not get a Game 7. The Caps will close tonight in 6 in Carolina. Predators and Stars coming up in about 30 minutes. Looking forward to watching that tonight. Dallas with an opportunity to close the door as well at home against Nashville. And I like the little battle that's going on here between P.K. Subban and Tyler Seguin. The ego involved, who gets off the ice last, and all of the superstition that goes into it. But tomorrow night's going to be tough, LeVay, because we're going to be on air here on a Tuesday night, and it's Game 7 in Boston, and it's two of the original six. It's also Game 7 tomorrow night in Las Vegas. Actually, the game's going to be in San Jose. It's between the Sharks and the Golden Knights. So tomorrow night, just for you sports fans in general, you get two Game 7s. And, I'm not telling you how to watch it, what to do. I know there are some people that will tune in the last 5 minutes of an NBA game or a college basketball game, and they get their fill there because it takes so long to play because of free throws and timeouts and fouls and everything that happens that it really takes away from the flow of the game. Well, if you want the exact opposite of that, tune in for the last 10 minutes of a Game 7 National Hockey League game, especially if it is a one-goal game or a tie game. The referees automatically swallow their whistles. You have to literally take your stick and break it over a guy's neck in order to get 2 minutes in the sin bin. It's not going to happen. Think of the NBA and everything I just said. In the NHL, they let you play. And tomorrow night, you got a treat. You got two Game 7s, Toronto and Boston. That is in Boston. And then San Jose playing host to the Las Vegas Golden Knights. Remember how great last year was between Las Vegas and Washington playing for the Stanley Cup, and the Caps were able to win it. So there you go. That's my hockey. I'll move back to the National Football League, where, a week ago, Shad Khan did say that he thought that all of the weakness had been addressed. That is what I got out of the conversation that we had today with Tom Coughlin, Dave Caldwell, and Doug Marone. I really felt that way by speaking with these three. Now, one of the most bizarre stories ongoing right now is what is happening in Oakland, where John Gruden in his second year, Mike Mayock in his first year, have sent home all of their scouts. They don't trust what is happening. There is apparently some leakage, or at least they think that there is some leakage, coming from a scout or someone in their draft rooms. They have sent everyone home. Earlier today, during the draft luncheon, I had a chance to catch up with General Manager Dave Caldwell. We've cut down this interview. But I do have a couple of questions for Dave, and I want you to hear it. As a matter of fact, we're going to do it right now. Here's Ballou with Caldwell.
What did you think about the story in Oakland with Gruden and Mayock and everyone home?
I don't know the dynamics of it. I know Mike's a tremendous guy. So I really can't comment on it, to be honest with you. Every situation is different. It wouldn't be for me to just comment on it.
Gil Brandt said that they baited a guy way back when he was with Tex and Tom Landry. In any part in your career, did you ever have suspicion that maybe something like that could be going on?
Yeah, you do, but it's such an energy drain that, mm-hmm. that it, if you're worrying about that, you're probably not worrying about the things that are important in the draft. And I think we've been fortunate where we've had really good people that work here, and I've been around two organizations that have great people, and it's just paranoia will destroy you.
Last one for you. I know you don't want to do anything specifically, but I see that Sweat's been medically flagged by a mm-hmm. lot of teams. Are there an unusual number of guys this year that have been red flagged because of situations like that?
I would not say unusual. Not at all, no. And each team has their own doctors and their own threshold, too. So what may be flagged by one team is a pass for another team. So you just never know on those.
All right, there was more to the interview as well. We went on for a little bit, and one point he did say is that team doctors are right more often than team scouts. And he was saying that in general, not in Jacksonville, but in general. The situation in Oakland, and I referenced this with Dave, going back to Gil Brandt. For those of you who know, Gil Brandt's finally going into the National Football League Hall of Fame, and I worked with Gil for 7 years. He's just an incredibly brilliant football man. Probably never got the credit that he deserved because it was always Tex Schramm and Tom Landry, but Gil Brandt was ahead of the scouting and was in charge of player personnel and was just phenomenal in years and years and years of leading the Dallas Cowboys. But he tweeted that out last week about how they liked the linebacker, or excuse me, they didn't like a linebacker, but they planted it on a draft board because they had suspicions that someone was leaking information out of that room to reporters. And in this case, a reporter for the Dallas Morning News. So what did they do? They staged that they liked the linebacker, put it on the board, and sure enough, 2 days later, it was in the newspaper as a guy that the Cowboys really liked, and obviously they were forced to make changes after the fact. Listen, we live in a world where things leak. I mean, go back to the Locke Canfora deal with Coughlin when we, you know, chastised his ass and he hung up on us live on air. Why would you, if you were a scout of any NFL team, why would you ever leak information unless you are receiving an incredibly large sum of money? Because who's going to hire a narc? Who's going to hire a guy? Today's story out of Oakland is that they're going to change the entire scouting department. Now, if you look at Mike Mayock, he was just hired. So he came into a situation where the scouts were already in place. And John Gruden had been there for a year. And I think whenever you have a general manager come in, he's going to want some of his own people. And that's the way it is in any sort of business life. Okay? I'm talking to an audience right now, regardless of what it is that you do. If a general manager comes in to your line of work for your company that you work for, my guess is that you had a couple of sleepless nights and some tense moments because you thought maybe your job is up, especially if you're higher up in the ranks, because general managers bring in their own people, okay? So in this case, apparently they're going to start and bring in new people right after the draft. But I always wonder about the narc. I always wonder about the rat. And it happens in politics. It happens in really everything that we do. Why, though, in this case, the effort that you have put in, the hard work that you have put in to be a National Football League scout, what could you possibly gain by leaking that information to a member of the press or, even worse, to another team? Do you think you're going to get hired based on that? So, you know, I always live by kind of those mob rules where the rat is almost as bad as the actual individual who commits the crime. All right, the Sammy the Bull Gravano to the John Gotti. But I understand there are certain situations where you have to do that because it's going to save your ass. You get an immunity. You get amnesty. All right, I give up everyone else. Guess what? I'm going to be okay. You know, I'll go into the witness protection program, but I can save my family. So there are reasons that we see that people do things like this. How does this apply in the world of scouting for an NFL draft? Why would you ever have doubts that someone from your room is going to give up information to a member of the media or to another team? How could you ever get hired again? That is a smallest of small fraternity. We talk about the league being small. How many scouts are there in the NFL? 32 teams? What do most teams have? Maybe 8 to 10? Now, you do the math. You think it's hard to be an NFL player? Guess how hard it is to be an NFL scout. And scouts have aspirations. Someday they move up to become directors of player personnel, to become general managers, to become whatever other glorified title you may receive. But in this league, I just don't see how you could possibly think that you are going to advance your career by leaking that type of stuff out. Totally baffles me. And that was earlier today. Talking to Dave Caldwell about it. This shocked me. It did. I'd never heard of a story like this before. I've been covering a lot of drafts. I understand maybe you don't want other people around. You don't want members of the media around. I get all that. But your trusted employees, one of them giving it up. And I know others are saying, hey, Baloo, this happens every day. It happens in big business. Okay. But when stuff like that does happen, if you're one major firm and you're giving information out to another firm in the business world, aren't you doing something like that because there's gain for you financially? Are you trying to tell me that there's scouts in the war room in Oakland that are giving information because they're getting paid for that information? Or that they think if they give information that all of a sudden Team X is all of a sudden going to say, oh, yeah, he was the guy who gave us that tip. Let's hire him. I mean, who's going to hire a guy like that? You know? It's like why some of these wives are married like 5 and 6 times. I mean, every once in a while, you got to go look in the mirror. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the problem. You know, always blame everyone else that they're the problem. Maybe you are the problem. Who the hell's going to hire a guy, whoever these guys are who get fired in Oakland, are they going to get rehired again? And if so, what is that interview process going to be like? Why were you let go? What actually did take place? Boy, is that going to be heated. That's a story that I never thought that I would be ever following. But are you kidding me? I love this stuff. I love it. I mean, this is like the ultimate NFL scumbag. We used to hear about agents and lawyers and bird dogs for that would do whatever they can to kind of turn over another leaf. Well, that's another story. This is a guy that's making a solid wage as a scout. Now, don't get me wrong. They put in incredible amounts of work. And I'm sure it's not all glory. Getting out on the road, going to these colleges, studying, a lot of pressure, too. You better be right with your analysis. But I don't understand it. I just don't. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you lose your job for this. Who else would ever consider hiring you? All right. Fascinated by it. Just blown away. You know, fascinates me. I don't know if it fascinates you. Let's get back to the draft a little bit. As a matter of fact, I got some draft stories I want to dive into. Let's get on the very latest here. We'll do it with our nightly Truth Teller News and Notes. It's brought to you each and every night by our good friends over at truckcrashlaw.com, and it's coming up next.
Into the Night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, we go to 9 o'clock tonight. Denny and James coming up then. Tomorrow night, we'll push everything back 1 hour. The ladies will be on before us, providing their draft expertise. So we'll go from 8 to 10 on Tuesday night. And Denny and James will take over at 10. Get back to our regular rotation on Wednesday night, 7 to 9. And then Thursday night, a little bit of a change. We'll have a draft special where members of the Jaguars radio broadcast team will bring you the draft. I am the one member of the Jaguars radio team who will be on after the draft. I'll be on at 10 o'clock. And frankly, I'm very excited about it. Because I can't think of ever in my life where I've been in a situation where I'm going to get to be on the radio after the Jaguars' first-round draft pick. So they'll be on 7 to 10. We're midway through the first round. And when I say they, I say Frangie, Loggeman, and Baselli. And then I'll come on at 10, midway through the first round, so I'll give you live updates as to what's going on in the draft. It also be able to talk about whoever it is that they select. So I'm looking forward to it. That'll be Thursday night. I'm also looking forward to this because it starts right now. That's Truth Teller News and Notes, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com, based out of Jacksonville. They're the only law firm statewide where that is what they do. It's the only thing that they do. And what it is you've been injured in a car accident, and it happened because of a truck, an RV, a bus, you know, anything along those lines, tractor trailer, horrible situation, serious injury, even if a death did occur to a friend or a family member, you need to know truckcrashlaw.com. Outstanding people, and they're based right here in Jacksonville. And hopefully you never have to use them, because we don't want anyone out there to be injured. But there are awful cases that do take place. If it happens to someone that you know, make sure that you put them in the right direction. And that direction is truckcrashlaw.com. All right, let's get to the NFL. TJ Yeldon going to the Buffalo Bills. 2-year deal there. Wonder if he'll speak to the media. Interesting timing. The week before the draft for TJ Yeldon, he visited a couple of different places. So he'll now join Frank Gore and LeSean McCoy, who, of course, has been there for quite some time. Old friend Chris Ivory, no longer on the roster. But TJ Yeldon, obviously remembered last for the way that he acted. And it's too bad, because I honestly thought that before the end of the year, he was probably the second most productive offensive player on the Jaguars roster last year, outside of only Westbrook. I would have to go with Yeldon at number two. These red flags now medically are being raised all throughout the NFL. A couple of very key defensive linemen. Jaguars have been mentioned for both. Rashawn Gary out of Michigan. Teams have medical concerns. Montez Sweat. Heard I did ask Dave Caldwell about that. We just played an interview for him from him earlier today. A heart condition, been taken off the first round. And in some cases, taken off the board for a lot of teams. That becomes a very sticky situation about red flags, medically speaking. Because everyone gets that same opportunity in Indianapolis. But when you have your 30 visits, you bring in people, and you trust your own doctors. I spent a long time discussing scouts and that whole leakage story. But trusting doctors is just as important, perhaps even more important. I mean, go back to the Miles Jack analysis of a couple of years ago. Miles Jack was red flagged by quite a few teams. Jaguars elected to trust their medical analysis. If it is either Rashawn Gary or Montez Sweat who is picked Thursday night by the Jags, that becomes a story on its own, because stories have come out this week that they have been taken off some boards, medically speaking. I find it very interesting. I mean, you had the McShay deal going head-to-head with Kuiper last week, and McShay had the Jags picking Hockenson at number 7. I know a lot of people here in the city absolutely love that. Well, this time around, it's Peter King who does the exact same thing as the Jaguars selecting Hockenson at number 7. Again, we did ask today. I asked Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin that, and I got the obligatory "we are going to draft the best player available" answer. But I think Tom Coughlin, a little bit later on in a different session with the media, this time when he met specifically with the radio and television guys, you know, he did expand upon that at least somewhat, and he got to the point where he said there's been plenty of tight ends that I'm sure teams wish they did select in the first round. When he was told that, you know, I think there's only been four selected in the first round over the last 30 years. Interesting way that Coughlin went about and did answer that question. Here's a story I don't get. Everything now coming out of Arizona and New York. Let's go to New York first. Okay, the Giants now are saying, or people who cover the Giants right now are saying, that they're not going to use their sixth pick in the first round for a quarterback. And they have been rumored for Dwayne Haskins. Boy, how that has changed. I remember being upset about how well Haskins performed at the combine and his individual workout, and thinking that, you know, he just outplayed even the bowl game, that the Jags won't be able to get him at seven, and, you know, they screwed themselves out of that situation. Now it appears this guy's going to absolutely be available for Jacksonville at seven. But the Giants not using the sixth pick in the first round to get a quarterback. Instead, they're going to use their second first round pick, which is the 17th pick in the first round. The way I've always looked at a situation like this with teams who have two or more first round picks, if you draft a quarterback in the first round, he is going to be your franchise quarterback. That's why you draft him in the first round. So if you want this guy as your first round quarterback, why wouldn't you get him at six? Why would you even allow him to stick around for nine more picks at number 17? To me, that says that you're not as comfortable in this guy as you should be. The only exception to this rule would be if a player fell to them at six that they did not think would be there. 4 years ago, Jalen Ramsey fell to the Jaguars at number five. They did not think that he would be there. That's one example. But just out of the spirit of the rule, if you're investing everything into a first-round draft pick who's a quarterback, he's your franchise guy. Why would you not get him at six and pick him at 17? I don't understand that. It's the most important position on the team. If you like him at 17, you like him at six, and you draft him at six. At least that's my opinion. Arizona now, again, is it all rubbish? Are we being lied to? Or is there truth to the fact that Kyler Murray actually now may not be the first player selected? Pete Prisco said it over the weekend. He said it yesterday, that he's hearing now that everything that's coming out of the desert, they're going to stay with Josh Rosen, and they are not going to select Kyler Murray. Talk about egg on the face. I mean, just about everyone in this business had turned, and it is a little bit of a copycat. I think there's something that needs to be said for, you don't want to get embarrassed. You don't want to be the one mock drafter who didn't hop on and select him as number one. I think the Baker Mayfield story of a year ago helped change that. You remember what happened there when, you know, a year ago, right after the season ended, Baker Mayfield wasn't even mocked to be in the first round. Then all of a sudden, he started climbing up the draft boards, ended up going number one overall. Well, I think this year what happened is that a lot of people got ahead of themselves when it came to Kyler Murray. Remember, at one point it was Dwayne Haskins. And you had Locke, and you had the others. You had the kid out of Duke. I can't even think of his name right now.
Dan Jones
out of Duke. And whoever it was, they would end up going the first. And then it was Kyler Murray. And then there was the situation with football and whether or not the two would tie in together and how devoted is he really to football because he could play baseball. You know, the former first-round pick. Well, Pete Prisco now saying he's hearing he's not going to go number one overall. Boy, the week of the draft. I think you also have to remember that this is the week that teams purposely do throw stuff out there and that teams do lie. But anyway, all of the analysis, all of the research, all of the study, and all of the time that's been put into this, and then all of a sudden, here we are, you know, a couple of nights away from the eve of the draft, and things seem to be changing twofold a couple of nights before. I just don't understand it. All right, there you go. News and notes, Truth Teller style, brought to you by TruckCrashLaw.com. One other college note, Mark Richt is going to be a studio analyst and has said that coaching is not in his plans. And it's a sad ending for Mark Richt. I know Mark Richt personally. I knew him when he was a wide receiver coach at FSU, and then he left to East Carolina and then came back as a quarterback's coach. And he wasn't the wide receiver coach. That was John Eason. He was the quarterback coach, became an offensive coordinator, and then, you know, came back. And when Brad Scott went on to South Carolina, I became the offensive coordinator. I watched him grow up as a young coach, and he's such an outstanding human being. But what a horrible ending to his career. And I'll never forget a few years ago, in it was either Pinehurst or Charlotte. I think it was Charlotte, his first year. After seeing him, you know, towards the end of the road where the pressure had really amounted for Mark Richt at Georgia. But just the new opportunity. I mean, Miami had been just awful. Miami hadn't, you know, they still haven't played for an Atlantic Coast Conference championship. You know, winning 7-8 games a year, Miami was just being laughed upon. And he took over, and he looked like, you know, like when you're bumping into a buddy that you hadn't seen in a while, and it looks like he's lost 20 pounds. Mark Richt's never been overweight, but he got the new haircut. He looks younger. Looks like he's lost weight, or, you know, it's kind of like the old Rafael Palmeiro commercial when Rafael was on Viagra, and they'd say, "Hey, Rafi, have you lost weight?" "No, I'm on the blue pill. I feel 10 years younger." Mark Richt looked so young and so fresh. I mean, the pressure was off. And immediate success. And then it just completely fell apart. Remember him wigging out on the sideline, an assistant coach? I think it was the ball game against Wisconsin. An inept offense, no quarterback play, which is really his forte, offense and quarterback. Couldn't do neither at the U. I don't know. We'll see what happens now with Manny Diaz. But I've always had a lot of respect for Mark Richt. And there's not a lot of coaches out there that I really consider friends of mine. But he would be one. I've known Mark forever. I knew Mark when he was a totally different human being than he is today. Back early in his career in Tallahassee. And he'll be good at what he does, but I don't know if you're ready to just put that nail in the coffin now and say that you're done for good. Hopefully that's not the case. All right, truckcrashlaw.com. If you know if someone has been injured or killed out on the road and it happened because of a truck, an RV, tractor trailer, bus, something like that, go to the only law firm in the state of Florida where this is what they do. This is their expertise, and they're very, very good at it. That's truckcrashlaw.com. Much more coming up. We'll get you ready for Denny and James. All of that as we continue into the night with Rick Ballew.
Into the night with Rick Ballew on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, it's a little bit overkill. They're re-showing the 2018 NFL Draft on NFL Network. You know, much as I love it, Thursday night. And again, we'll be on the air midway through the first round. On Thursday night, 10 to noon, or 10 to midnight. Hell yeah. Looking forward to it. Should be a great day. Jags Radio Network will get you started at 7 on that particular day. So, going to be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Draft talk all week. Some good guests coming up both tomorrow night and Wednesday night. I always been a big fan of Donovan McNabb. I thought he had one of the toughest deals going, really, from the time he was selected. Remember the mayor openly stated that he wanted Philadelphia to draft Ricky Williams, and if you forget, that's the draft that Mike Ditka gave up all 8 of his draft picks in New Orleans to get Ricky Williams. But Donovan McNabb came in and obviously was a sensational quarterback, a Pro Bowler, took him to a Super Bowl right here in Jacksonville where they lost to the Patriots. And he's done some work as a member of the media, and he was asked over the weekend by CBS Sports Radio about the quarterback situation with Nick Foles obviously winning a Super Bowl, then coming here. And Carson Wentz, who's tremendously talented, probably would want an MVP before the injury a couple of years ago, but hasn't been able to be healthy. And McNabb went out as a member now of, I guess, slightly the media, because he's done some work of that before, but gave his opinion. And he said, quote, "I think in the next 2 to 3 years, he has to find a way to get out of the second round of the playoffs." All right? And then he goes on to talk about Foles and all this and all that. "And if not, the Eagles need to select a quarterback." He has been getting ripped by several, but the one that really sticks out is Lane Johnson, the offensive lineman, who went as far as to say that, you know, to Donovan McNabb on Twitter, he says, "And you wonder why nobody respects you when you come back," quote unquote. Well, first of all, what? How can you be a current NFL player? In this case, an offensive lineman in Lane Johnson. He's talking about his teammates. How can you not respect Donovan McNabb? Seriously. I mean, how can you not respect him? The guy went into arguably the toughest market in the world, did some unbelievable things, took the team to the Super Bowl, nearly won it. I understand he's frustrated, but when you leave an organization and you're asked your opinion, you should be able to answer it without being criticized. I mean, I work with Baselli and Loggeman on the Jaguars radio network. You hear those two all the time here on our station. Mark Brunell. I remember Fred Taylor took some heat this past year. That was about the fans, and that was in the sun when it was hot. But, you know, there's 4 ex-players. Maurice Jones-Drew, a member of the media in Los Angeles. You know, there are others that are out there. Yurko does a show out in Chicago. I'm probably forgetting a couple of others. My point is you've taken off the team hat, at least so to speak, and you're now a member of the media, and you're asked the question, do you always want the guy to give you the answer that you're expected to hear, or do you want his honest opinion? I have the utmost respect in the world right here for Donovan McNabb, the guy who was in that situation, knows exactly what it's like to be a quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'll tell you what, the guy that they love in Philadelphia is Nick Foles because he won the title. They don't love Donovan McNabb. They do, but it's a split crowd because he didn't win it. And it's the same thing with Carson Wentz now. And I'm sure Randall Cunningham dealt with the highs and the lows, and that Ron Jaworski dealt with the highs and the lows. Philadelphia is a town where you are there to win a Super Bowl. And even though they won their first ever a couple of years ago under Nick Foles, I can't believe that there are players that are saying this. Now, I understand them defending Carson Wentz. I think that if Philadelphia fans and Philadelphia members of the media were crying about this, it would be a little bit different of a tone. But you know how it is in that particular city. They're never happy anyway. They're always very unhappy. And it doesn't matter what the situation is, they're going to find a way to take the worst possible case scenario. But I have the utmost respect here for Donovan McNabb. Saying what he believes. He knows if they don't win there, how that crowd is going to be. And if Carson Wentz is going to be a quarterback who we all believe has the talent and the potential to be outstanding, but he's yet to prove that he can stay on the football field for an entire year, I have no problem with the comment that he made. And I can't believe Lane Johnson said that you wonder why when you come back, no one respects you. Just don't understand that at all. I can understand being upset by his comment and protecting his quarterback, protecting his player. But to go as far as to say that nobody respects you when you come back, I almost wonder if that's more of an issue of today and today's players to yesterday's players and the founding fathers than it is directly with Donovan McNabb. But I got McNabb's side on this story, not Lane Johnson. I mean, come on. Guy was asked a question. He gave a solid answer. Unbelievable they react that way. All right. Much more to get into. Actually, not much more to get into. We're wrapping things up. Right now, let me look over there and make sure that is definitely my buddy, Denny Thompson, after the mistake I made Friday night when I confused him for James Coleman.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Waiting in line is so 2018. App your way to the front of the line. Order Moe's online or in the app. Walk in, grab the food, and go.
All right, Denny Thompson is here. It is time for the Sports Den.
Is there anything that's got to be more boring to watch than the draft? Past year's draft? Already know what's – I mean, there's – no nuances that you don't remember, like a game. I can watch a game three or four times and go, oh, I didn't realize that had happened. Forgot that had happened, but.
I'm just really surprised that the NFL Network is as great as their programming is, and I'm a huge fan, is not doing some sort of draft preview, redoing shows earlier today or whatever.
They've been doing this all weekend.
Why show last year's draft?
Did they show 2012, 2013, 2014? They showed them all weekend long.
Yeah.
And every time I turn on, because that is a staple for me, I turn on the TV and it goes to NFL Network. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Are there people that watch this? Like, other than family members?
Tell you what you need to do. You need to put on channel 220 on, and I would do it, but I was deep into the program tonight and watch the third period of Capitals Hurricanes because you may go into sudden death overtime tonight in the National Hockey League.
That's 220?
Game 7. Game 6 tonight. Yeah. Yep. 2-2 game. Caps win. They move on. Hurricanes win. You force a game 7.
Are we down on TV?
I don't know. I didn't even look at it. Yeah. Looks like we are. It's behind me, so I didn't notice.
It's finally draft week, man. How great is that?
Oh, it is. It is.
Finally draft week and you get to work the late shift on Thursday, by the way.
Yeah.
So we get the night off.
You guys get the night off, so you can go party and do whatever the heck it is you want to do.
I actually have a date with my couch and a good bottle of whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And James has a date with TV.
Yeah.
He's got to do TV on Thursday night, so he can work.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
All right. I'm looking forward to it. I've never been on right after the draft, so, you know, figure at 10 o'clock will be about midway through the first round and be able to talk about what the Jags have done and look through the remainder of the draft. And then after the pick, what are they going to do again on Friday? So that'll be pretty cool.
What happens to your time slot if they trade back?
Don't know.
Hmm.
Don't know. Do you think Frangie, Buscelli, and Loggins are going
to
stay on?
To you. Yeah, I think you have to arm wrestle Buscelli.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'll go.
Are you going from here or there?
I'm doing it from here, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, as far as I know, I'm going to sit right here. Until I'm at the question now where I've been doing this for 28 years. I don't ask any questions. I'm just told where I need to be.
Look at the schedule.
I'm going to be right here.
Here's what I hope happens for you. I hope they trade back in late.
Okay.
So that you can break the second first-round pick. That's what I hope happens. Hope they give a second, one of their thirds, and come back in at like 27. And then it's Rick Ballew breaking news on 1010XL.
It would be kind of cool if they did trade back, though, to make Frangie, Baselli, and Loggeman be on until like midnight. Then I could come on and do it from midnight to 2 a.m.
Which is no big deal to you.
No, it's not at all. All right, what's coming up right now?
Of course, draft talk, of course, and a little Doug Marrone, Jalen Ramsey. And I've got an interesting question for the peeps. And you can maybe be able to throw one out at me. I can't remember last player the Jags drafted that knew they were going to have to pay. Like this whole Jalen Ramsey contract situation, was the last homegrown guy that the Jags drafted that they knew, oh, crap, he's about to break the bank? I can't think of one.
Yeah, because Bortles got a, you know,
a tag money
deal.
He wasn't break the bank.
But it wasn't a franchise money. Brandon Linda, Marquise Lee. As far as I know, those are only three guys on the roster that they've re-signed to second deals.
And none of them they're worried about, right? Yeah, it's an interesting thing.
Kelvin as well. And they'd like to trade out of that Kelvin deal.
Yes, they would.
Kelvin's another guy that needs to be mentioned.
So we're going to get into that.
Yeah. All right. He's coming up right now. It's Denny Thompson along with James Coleman. Matt LaVey produced tonight's show, as he does each and every night. Tonight's show brought to you by Advanced Disposal. They are hiring right now in Clay County, a $1,500 signing bonus. You need a CDL, a commercial driver's license. Apply online. Go to advanceddisposal.com/careers. Folks, we're back tomorrow night after the ladies of Helmets and Heels. So you'll get Rick Ballew on Tuesday night from 8 until 10. We'll talk to you then right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.